The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. First and foremost, grace, unmerited favor, a blessing, and a gifting. We're going to talk about that today. Plus, guess what? You have a designer gift. Remember designer jeans? You have a designer gift. Actually, it is a designer jean. It's just the other kind of jean. And then finally, why do we need to understand Newmanisms?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Oh boy, what are we looking at during the show, Dave? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's the answer. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? What do you think? 972-445-0770. Giving away tickets to the SMU game that's taking place on the 8th. So you want to listen to what we're going to be doing. Keep in mind, you can call in because any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Didn't you hear how we started the show? It was all echoey. That's because we had the mics on for the other things, right? Yeah, your volume's on it. Do they?
Yeah, I had the other microphone on, not yours.
Yeah, so you had the other mic, and that was
I had Johnny Hill's microphone on.
Yeah, Johnny's mic was on, but mine, so we had the echoing going on. It's like, hey, it's not professional radio. We just say, it's radio. Get over it. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Isn't that fun? I just think that's what I love, actually, about live radio, is you do something like that, it's like, oh, and it's like, big deal. That's how life is. Didn't you ever go as fast as you could to a stoplight and you're trying to get through and then it turns yellow and it turns red and you sped all the way up just so you can slow down, stop and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. It is the way of life. You might as well get used to it. So we are giving tickets away. A couple things we want to run by you. We're just going to do a brief mention on our three sponsors because it's Expository Thursday on a Friday, which I think, you know, we got a sound for that, right? The expository sound. Here it is. Oh, we are sick indeed. Yeah, some people are just like, yeah, why don't you just teach straight out of the word and stop talking? Well, that's not my designer gene. That's all I can say. First acknowledgments for Mr. Restore and for Clint over at Mr. Restore. We encourage you to go to MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. Second, Stephanie Vasquez, our New York life insurance agent who's on board and a part of what we're doing. We're very excited to have her on board. And we want you to be able to reach out to her. You can do that directly through our website. I'll get to that in a second. And then, of course, Men of God Moving, menofgodmoving.com with Johnny Hill being a participant in the show. We think that's awesome. Here's something you need to know, and this I'm going to tell you this ahead of time. We have made the switch. We are in the business being removed, ministry being at the forefront. The articles of incorporation have been received by the state. The IRS process is going through with the EIN number, the articles of incorporation, and the review on the minutes, and things are taking place at a pretty good click, so I'm very excited. Our website is now hemustincrease.org. And that comes from John 3:30. Hemustincrease.org. Now watch this. Our email. Now this is different from yesterday. David@hemustincrease.org. There you go. So you got hemustincrease.org. Email David@hemustincrease.org. By the way, as Wonder Julie was kind enough to point out, that means now that donations are tax deductible. It's like, yep, that's where we're going, folks. So, yep. So if you're feeling like, I love this mission, I want to give $25, but I want to give it and I want it to be effective, that's what we're doing. And all I'm trying to do is increase the time and increase the reach. Like, so he must increase, okay? But we're gonna do our best to advance in the radio and help that happen. Couple things to tell you right off the bat on this day for those that do not know. This is one of my more rare holidays that I'm not impressed. Do you know any of the holidays for today?
I do not.
National Chocolate Covered Cherry Day. I'm not a big chocolate covered cherry guy. Can you
only
believe it?
Only if they're refrigerated.
Okay, I can go with that one. National Drinking Straw Day. And the only reason that is true is because this is the day that Marvin Stone patented the drinking straw. So for all those people whining about the ocean, go away. All right, and then here's the next one, the fruitcake toss, which I understand because it's really the same fruitcake every year. Just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. But my favorite, and one I missed, is the Festival of Sleep Day. This is the day where you go, did we just go through Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's and all this rush? And all? This is the day for sleeping.
That's why I came back on a Thursday. And now it's Friday. Yay!
Yay, it's already Friday. Good job. In 1496, on this day, Leonardo da Vinci unsuccessfully, I'm not sure why this is part of history, but unsuccessfully tested a flying machine. See, to me, he might have taken a rock and maybe put some glue on there with some paper and threw it and said, that didn't work. I don't know. Don't give you very much on stuff like that. Also, on this day in 1957, the Hamilton Watch Company introduced its first electric watch. And for football fans, you should know that in 1983, on this day, Tony Dorsett of the Dallas Cowboys made the longest run from scrimmage in NFL history, tying Bob Gage in 1949. Well, there you go. So we have a little bit of history. You got a little bit of this. You got a little bit of that. I hope you're doing okay. If you're not, I'll give you a quick update on what's going on in our lives. Easton Scott is doing better in regards to seizures. So to give you an idea of what level was going on, he was having anywhere from 50 to 100 seizures a day.
That's horrible.
Unbelievable. They've got it down to 5.
Oh, gosh, thank goodness.
Is that great? They don't know that there's any damage that's been done technically, so they're working through that. My daughter's big prayer, if you want to keep praying for our family, it's up to you, is that they pray they're trying to get Medicaid for where they're at in Tennessee so they can have help in the home. And it's like there's no reason in the world why that shouldn't happen. But then you go through government tape and stuff like that. They're going to qualify, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. So, but just keep the family in prayer. We'd appreciate it, plus the transitions and all the things that we're doing. It's a lot of stuff going on. I got to tell you, it's a lot of stuff. Let's talk about this. And I know we want to get into the teaching, but let's talk about this. We have a basketball game from our SMU heroes, the Mustangs. They're playing the UCF Knights. That's the University of Central Florida Knights. And they're doing this on the 8th. And this is the 3rd. So I think the 8th is like, what, Wednesday? I'm pretty sure it's like Wednesday. So here's the dealios, and this is why I'm doing this right away. These tickets, we can mail them today if we can get them out by 3. Or you can pick them up on Monday or Tuesday. Because if we try to mail them to you on Monday, you're not going to get them by Wednesday to go to the game. So it's we got to get it done. If you can't get it done, you know, don't kind of do it. So this is for the tickets. So even if you know the trivia answer, if you're not doing it for the tickets, I'm asking you right now to not call it because we want to do something about these tickets. Because otherwise, they're going to be seats that are not used. Even if you get them and give them to somebody, that's totally cool. But we don't want them wasted. I mean, why would you not enjoy a free game with free parking pass? Got to be kidding. It's free. It's like salvation. It's like it's free. Once you get there, it could cost you, but it's free. It's kind of the mentality. Here it is. We'll keep it super easy, okay? What? The walls of Jericho fell when Joshua and the Israelite army were marching around them. What were they doing when they were marching around them? And the only hint I'll give you is musical band. Musical band. That's all I'm going to give you. 972-445-0770. You got to tell me, what were they doing? They're marching around. They're marching around Jericho. What are they doing around Jericho? This is what they're doing. You're going to tell me what they were doing, and then you're going to win the tickets. 972-445-0770. We're going to try our best to give the tickets away. It's one of those things where I know other people want to call in and give the answer, but only if you can either get the tickets, use the tickets, or give the tickets to somebody who could be blessed by them. That's all we're asking you. Okay? That's how we're doing it. I do want to talk about our expository teaching today. It's super, super intense areas that we're going to be covering. And the most important thing to understand as we get into this is, you know, we talked about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 are exhortation for unity. Verses 4 through 6 are the explanation for unity. It's why we have to keep the unity that we already have. So as opposed to people coming up and saying to you, well, the only way to be unified is doctrine, those people are doctrinally illiterate. Because verses 4, 5, and 6 give you seven foundational unities of which we are united in the Lord, and none of the seven are doctrinal. Can't get away from it. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Three of them is, you know, one is the Holy Spirit, one is the Lord Jesus Christ, and one is the Father. So it's like, okay, calm down. So the idea is to understand we're supposed to keep that unity, and now Paul shifts as the Holy Spirit's leading him, as he's talked about unity and he's given exhortation and he's given an explanation. And now with that unity in mind, he's about to break open into this new area. He's about to talk about gifts that have been given to the church and what their purpose is and how it works together with the church and functionality. We're not actually getting into 1 Corinthians 12, 13, or 14 or some of the other elements, although we are getting into what's called the fivefold ministry. We'll probably be doing that next week. But I want you to get something right off the bat that there are graces, there are charisms, there are gifts given, and they are for God's work. They're not. Anytime the Lord gives you a grace, an ability, a blessing, whatever, it's not so you can say, oh, look, I got a trophy. I'm so fantastic. Look at me. Look at me. Okay? That's not the way that goes. Okay? Not a trophy. Not a toy either. And there's some people that have this misunderstanding that gifts are like toys or something like that. Like on again, off again, on again, off again, like an on and off button. That's not what gifts are for. Gifts are tools. Okay, not a trophy, not a toy, but a tool for the people of God and to honor God. That's what they're for. And we're going to kind of dive into that and see how that works. But what I want you to catch is what the purposes are. So in some realms, when we talk about gifts and spiritual gifts, there's a discussion about the Pentecostal side of it. There's a discussion about the Baptist side of it. There's a discussion about the Church of Christ side of it. There's a discussion about dispensationalism, whether the gifts are active or not. That has nothing to do with this whatsoever. I mean, it's cool that you ask that, but it's got nothing to do with it. What this has to do with is the gifts God has given you to be a blessing to the body of Christ and to bring honor to Jesus. That's what it's got to do with. So it's not overly complex. It's just very important to understand that these, here's the funniest part, these are put together and explained to us in the thrust of chapter 4, which is all about unity. So you know how the gifts seem to divide people? That's pretty fleshly on all Christian sides that it does that, since Scripture lays out where the gifts. And keep in mind also the gifts, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, what's in the middle? 1 Corinthians 13, chapter on love. We should all know better and do better than that kind of stuff. All right, take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Destroying everyone and everything.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, right. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay? Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10 through 12 says this: Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, there's a couple ways to go about that. The website for our show, hemustincrease.org. Yay! I'm so excited about that. And then also the email, david@hemustincrease.org. And why that's important, okay, is because we are moving from a for-profit to a nonprofit, and we are moving from a business to a ministry, and you're watching us do this live over the last 200 shows. And you're thinking, well, why are you doing that? And my most immediate answer is, it's what the Lord wants. My secondary answer is, I think it's what the Lord wants. And my third answer is, well, who knows? We just have this sense that the Lord wants to do more ministry than business. And it's like, okay. I mean, how can you say no? I was doing a study this morning. Here's something that will really, you want to talk about your brain, you know, falling out of your head. If you look at the life of Abraham, what's the most amazing element to Abraham is in the Genesis chapter 20 narrative, when you look at verse 13, Abraham says, God has caused me to wander. And you have to think, well, what do you mean God has caused him to wander? 17 different places that Abraham went. 17 different places Abraham went from when God called him initially. And so he defined it as God causing him to wander. Not all the time when you get a direction from the Lord or you get something from the Lord, does that mean, well, that's it. You're staying there. It's permanent. Even as we look at the epistles, we understand in Crete, where Titus was left, he wasn't left there for a long term or a long amount of time, just to get things in order and then to move on to his next task. And sometimes the Lord puts you somewhere for a little while, and sometimes he picks you up and moves you. Sometimes he plants you there and you don't go anywhere and you're firm. And sometimes it's like being on a scooter. And you just go all the way over. So in our own lives and in my life, we go through that. And so you can either resist God or do your best to follow. One of the things that I think is important for people to understand as Christians is God is not there saying, oh, well, you missed this by 5 feet, and I'm so mad at you, I'm going to throw stuff at you. You know, when the king had gone after Abraham's wife, when he'd gone after Sarah, the king even said to God in his own defense, I did this, I was trying to keep integrity, I was did it with a full heart of innocence, and God said, I know. I mean, God knows you're trying. He's not there going, oh, they're not even trying. He's omniscient. He knows what's going on, and he knows that you're trying, okay? Just thought I'd throw that out there for whoever that was who needed to hear that. I hope that was somebody, and that was a blessing for somebody. All right, let's go back to the trivia question. It's not a complex question. It's pretty straightforward. The question is, the walls of Jericho fell after Joshua's Israelite army marched around the city. What were they doing when they marched around the city? That's the question. To answer that question, or if you answer that question, you can get a parking pass and two tickets to the SMU Mustangs game, which is on the 8th, which I still think that's Wednesday, right? Because today is like the 3rd.
Yes, it's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. 7 p.m. It's SMU Mustangs against UCF Knights. The UCF is University of Central Florida. Should be a fantastic game. Should be a lot of fun. It's free if you can answer the trivia question. You got to call, if I can remember our number, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Some people want to know why I talk as fast as I do. And I would typically say the answer is because I have so much in my brain. If I don't get it out, it just leaks. And the real answer is I have so much on my plate that I'm trying to communicate to you that sometimes I forget I need to take a deep breath and just do it one step at a time, one piece at a time. So forgive me for being speedy. Hey, he's speedy. That's fast. Thank you. All right, here we go. Here is our text that we're talking about. It is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Of which I could probably do a couple weeks on, but we're just going to do it in this next three segments. It says to this, says this in verse 7. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Let's talk about this real quickly. Verse 7 is talking about each one of us receiving a grace that has been given. Grace, the word is charis in the Greek. It has the idea of grace. It has the idea of kindness. It has the idea of blessing in this connotation. It has the understanding of a capacity and an ability to do something via the grace of God. If you want to know where that comes from, that is a NAS Exhaustive Concordance reference, as well as a Thayer's theological reference to what the word means. And you might be saying, well, why doesn't that just mean that he's given everybody grace, like for salvation? It's an excellent question, but the answer is within the text itself. It says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It's important to understand that salvation grace is not given on a limited basis. You don't get 3 quarts of grace and this person gets 6 quarts of grace and this person gets 9 quarts of grace in salvation. In salvation, everybody's getting an entire ocean filled of grace. This context has to do with grace, ability, gifts that are given for purposes that have to do with the body of Christ. So you might say, well, how do you know it's not the regular just grace kind? It's because it's got a amount defined to it by Jesus Christ. Not every person is gifted in the kingdom the same way every other person is, but every Christian has that same salvation concept tied to them. So there's no salvation grace here. This is a functionality grace. And it's important to understand that this is as Jesus determines, as Christ apportioned it. What I want you to catch is how important it is, because it says to each one of us, this grace has been given. Well, what does that mean? That means that on the ship of the church, there are no passengers. I got to say that again. On the ship of the church, there are no passengers. Everybody is a crew member. Did you get that? Everybody is a crew member. This is a very nice rebuke to those who are imagining in their minds that there's nothing they can do in the church. Wrong answer. That is incorrect, according to God. And the Lord is letting you know, each one of us has a grace that's been given to us as Christ apportioned it. And I want to say, when you get into the phrase, each one of us, I know it's going to be overly complex, but you know what it means? It means each one of us. It's like, well, how many of you is each one? You're one of them. I'm one of them. Right? 12 tribes, one nation, right? Different body parts, one body of Christ, right? In the framework of those bodies, there's different cells, there's different organisms, there's different ligaments, there's different muscles, there's different blood flow. All of it works together for a single purpose. What it really comes down to is that nobody in the kingdom of God is unimportant. There is no also-rans in the kingdom of God. It doesn't exist. And the Lord has blessed each one of us with gifts, blessings, capacities, and abilities to bless other people. And it's our stewardship that he's asking us to be faithful in. Now, when you get into the real core of this from a theology point of view, when people talk about having a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, then everybody goes around, they're looking for a gift. First of all, that's a complete miss on the entire text. Every time it says gift of the Holy Spirit, not gifts, but gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the gift is the Holy Spirit, not what the Holy Spirit brings, but the Holy Spirit himself. He is the gift. And likewise, he has given into you gifts that have a purpose, that have a results-geared system built into them. And that system is to be a blessing to other people and to honor Jesus Christ. And you're a part of that. And every time I encounter people like this a lot, especially because I do a radio ministry, you encounter people that think, well, I'm not that important. It's like, yes, you are. And God says so. And when you say, oh, I'm not that important, I want to tell you, I want to use a line that Ed Cole used many, many moons ago. So Ed Cole was ministering to this couple, and they read 1 John 1:9, confess your sins and he is faithful. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he tells the story, so I'm going to steal his story. And he talks about this story of a missionary couple, and they said, we really feel we failed the Lord, and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, well, let's go over 1 John 1:9. They're like, okay, great. And he said, all right, so let's just pray, and you can just confess before the Lord. And they confess before the Lord, and then he was done praying, and they go, oh, well, we don't feel any different. And Ed Cole goes, oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you completely. He said, I thought you were Bible-believing Christians. And the people were like, we're missionaries. We've given up our life for the sake of the gospel. And his point was, but you don't believe what the Bible says. And here it says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive you your sins, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's kind of like done deal. Hey, guess what? You're important. And how do you know you're important? Because this text in verse 7 tells you, each one of us has been given a grace as Christ apportioned it. And it's for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ and to bless other people. You count. You're not insignificant. And that's God's truth. And you can fight God all you want. You're not going to win the argument. But you're important in the kingdom of God. Just because you don't have a big banner behind you doesn't mean that God doesn't think you're important. Okay? Take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to tell you right off the bat. Our website, hemustincrease.org, coming off of John chapter 30, verse 30, where that's what John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ. He must increase. Hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org, as we have moved ourselves from a business to a ministry and from a for-profit to a nonprofit, you are welcome to contribute. We will give all of that information out as how we're going to give everybody their information at the end of the year for next year, because it just started, so you know we're still working it together. The other thing I do want to say is it is 2020, and just riding off what we just heard on the break point right there, I do want to point out that 2020 has to do with vision, and your vision or how you see in 2020 should be with Jesus. That's how you should see things. You should see with Jesus. That's just a great point, and I'm sure many people will be using that throughout the year. Just, you know, 2020, make it a year you're seeing it with Jesus. It's just a great idea. Let's go back to the tickets. Now, we're trying to do this, give the tickets away for the SMU game. The Southern Meth University Mustangs, who are playing the UFC Knights on the 8th, which is this Wednesday. We have tickets. In order to mail them, we have to get this done in the next half hour. Otherwise, we can try it on Monday and Tuesday and have people pick them up, because the game is on Wednesday. The game is at 7 p.m. It's two tickets and a parking pass. If you can utilize them, or you know somebody that can utilize them, please, by all means, we want to be able to use these and let these be a blessing. The trivia question that goes with them is pretty straightforward. The walls of Jericho. That's what the Israelite army was walking around under Joshua's command. Joshua's command. They were walking around. What did they do when they were walking around? If you have that answer, you can get the tickets. We'll make it happen. We're pretty good at stuff like that. 972-445-0770 is the number, in case you think you know. 972-445-0770. So we're talking in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're talking about the you know, Paul gives this exhortation to unity in verses 1 through 3, and verses 4 through 6, he gives the explanation of unity, and now verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, he's talking about the fundamental principles of graces, gifts that are given to one another to help one another, which have a unifying factor. I want to point something out to you about unity that is so important, I think, as everybody goes into 2020 and you've got the politics and you've got the country divide and things of that nature, I just want to talk about that principle of unity as it relates to our existence and the principles in the kingdom of God. In Genesis 11, 1 through 8, it says this: "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech, and as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and they settled there." Shinar, that's fine. Doesn't matter. "And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly and use bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan that they want to do will be impossible. Come, let's go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." The principle of unity, even defined in Genesis 11, the power of unity, God looking at the people going, if they were one mind, one accord, they're going to get it done. That's why Jesus talks about, he talks about Satan, he talks about cities, he talks about the country, he talks about families. If there's a division, they can fall. If there's no division, they cannot fall. And so that principle of unity is enormous for the Christian, and for the Christian to understand, look, you might disagree on 1,000 different issues. You might think spaghetti is better than pizza, although I don't know why you would think that, but you might. And the reality is that should not be an issue for you and I to be a brother or sister. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord for the common kingdom and the glorification of Jesus Christ, the acknowledgement of God, the surrender to the Holy Spirit. There is a call on our lives to support and stand by one another. And I know people are like, I get tired of hearing about that unity stuff. Well, great. Here's a great hint. A preacher went to preach a revival at a church, and he preached there. And the first night he preached John 3:16. The second night he preached John 3:16. The third night he preached John 3:16. The fourth night he preached John 3:16. The pastor went up to him and said, what are you going to preach on tonight? He goes, John 3:16. And the pastor said, well, you preached on that four nights in a row. You want to preach on something different? He goes, just as soon as your people get it, I'll preach on something different. It's like, why? Okay. Get it? So it's John. Did you get that? So the unity principle is a massive principle. Why? Because as the end gets closer and closer, it becomes a hot button issue and a call of requirement from God to us to function in that. That's what he calls us to. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul goes and grabs from basically from Psalm 68, and he writes, when he talking about Jesus, he says, to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. And it's a very powerful text that probably doesn't get too much play. Jesus is communicating through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, that when Jesus ascended on high, he led captives in his train. Who are the captives? Us. You. Me. Captive to sin. Captive to Satan. Captive to the world. Captive to the fear of death. Afraid to die because we don't understand that in the kingdom of God, death is sleep from which we arise. And so he leads captives in his train, and the train is something that follows right behind a person from the clothing point of view and the royalty point of view. Anything that's behind the train of a king is connected to the king. Guess what? You're in the train. You're in the clothing. You're in the wake behind the king. You're the captive. He is set free. And he gave gifts to men. He further, using this passage, further explaining what verse 7 is, saying, look, everybody's been given, you know, gifts as Christ apportioned it, and these gifts are to be a blessing to one another. This is what I'm giving you. And these gifts are given to the church, and they're also given to humanity. As I know it's hard to believe that, but it's true. It's given as gifts from God. But I want you to catch what he's saying. He ascended on high. He led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. You're going to find out as we go through the text, some of that gifting has to do with the gifting he's given you, and some of that gifting has to do with some of the offices he's put in the church and those who are faithful in those offices. But what you can't miss is that he led captives in his train. What you can't miss is that thing that gnaws at you, that you can't seem to defeat, that you can never get through, that beats you down, is not greater than he that is in you. It is not greater than the power and authority and majesty of Jesus Christ. And no matter what it is that you've gone through, no matter what it is that seems to have bound you up, no matter what it is that seems to be your besetting sin, in the train of Christ, in the wake of Jesus, there is a freedom. And I'm telling you right now, there's some of you believers out there that think, I can never get through this. I always fall back to this. And it's the only one who wants you to quit trying is Satan. God doesn't want you to quit trying. The people around you don't want you to quit trying. Only Satan wants you to stop. Or I should say the world, who wants you just to join in them in their own captivity. Don't do it. Don't quit. Because in the wake of Jesus Christ, behind Jesus Christ, there is a freedom from all of this stuff that bogs you down and sucks the life out of you. If you think life is about paying bills, you're not living. And if you think life is about pleasing others, you're not living. When you find out that being close to Jesus gives you a joy and a grace that you never thought possible, a peace that passes all understanding, then you're beginning to scratch the surface. But just scratch the surface. So when he ascended on high, I mean, he led captives in his train, giving freedom to people like you and me. Not that we deserve it, but giving freedom to people like you and me because he loves us and pouring his gifts and his graces into us so we can be a blessing to others. That's the ticket. That's how all that stuff works. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. That's how it all comes together. You don't have to be a theologian. You know, one thing I had a chance, New Year's Day. We had a New Year's Day, so we had I had to redo the testimony. The office was closed here, the radio station. And so we had a family dinner, and I got a chance to talk with Aunt Deb, who's been a great blessing for our ministry and for everything that my wife and I have done and for our families. And we were talking, and she and I were discussing the Apollos ministry. A lot of people think that the only ministry there is kind of a Billy Graham-style ministry, and that's not only is that incorrect, you're going to find out next week that the Billy Graham style was unique for Billy Graham and fantastic, and I am a huge supporter, and I am a huge supporter of the Billy Graham Evangelistical Association. But the style of evangelism in the early church was a preacher or evangelist would go to a church and preach the good news to the believers, because you're not only saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3, but you're kept by the gospel, and we need to be reminded of that. And the original evangelists were more along the lines of people that were reinforcing current believers as well as leading new people to Christ. And she said, that's really funny. She said, because all my life I feel like I've been more of a waterer than a planter. I said, well, there's a passage that says Paul, referring to himself, said, I planted, Apollos water, but God gives the increase. She goes, well, that makes sense. It's like, yeah, it's amazing how God uses you where you're at, isn't it? It is kind of cool, I got to say. All right, so we're going to take our break, and then I don't think we're going to be able to give the tickets away, so we're just going to do our best, do it one more time. We'll give it a try, see what happens. But keep in mind, we're just doing this to be a blessing to anybody we can. So you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian Station. Short break. We'll be back. In
peace and sleep. Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. And here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Amazing Grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station. Please keep in mind, if you want to get any of our music, livinginhisgrip.com is a place that you can get it. That's the musical breaks in and out and so on and so forth. I do want to make mention, if you want to get more information about the show, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org from John 3:30. Email David, that'd be me, at hemustincrease.org. I don't know. I like it. It doesn't matter. My wife was like, is that what you want? I said, yeah. I said, that's what I want. That's my passion for life. She goes, go with that. I'm like, okay. I got a great wife. I got lucky. All right. So let's get into this last text. Oh, we do want to give one more shot on the giving the tickets away. So I want to give that opportunity. So we have a simple question. You got 2 tickets and a parking pass for the game for SMU Mustangs for next Wednesday, 7 p.m. The trivia question is, the walls of Jericho fell. It was due to Joshua's army, the Israelite army, marching around the city. What did they do when they marched around the city? If you know that answer, you can get the tickets, 972-445-0770. I want to get into the last part of this text because it is a doozy. Here's what it says in verse 9. So 7 and 8 said, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Earthly regions, folks. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Wowza. Okay. Well, I think we got somebody calling in on the tickets. Let's find out. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Mike out in Balt Springs.
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm great.
All right. So
how about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. Let's do it. You can get some tickets here. Free tickets, two tickets, parking pass. All for it. We can't pay for any of the condiments, though, okay? You got to take care of that yourself. So here it is. Here's the question. What? The walls of Jericho fell after Joshua's army did what?
Blew the horns.
That's correct. They were blowing the horns. They were blowing the trumpets. Good job, my friend. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Wonder Julie get your information, and then we're going to try and coordinate this. We can either send those tickets out to you, and we can kind of send them out like a little later on today in the mail, or you can pick them up on Monday or Tuesday. You can kind of coordinate that with Wonder Julie, tell her which you prefer. Perfect. And then these tickets are yours, and I just hope the game is a great blessing for you.
Oh, me too. I can't believe they were still around when I heard you first come on at 2 and announced it. I was like, oh, man, I can't call now.
You know what's great is that, you know, sometimes the people will call in earlier, and people will call in but can't go to the game, so then they don't want to do it because they don't want to take that opportunity away for other people to enjoy it, which I appreciate. I think that's kind of a cool way to go about it. But good answer. Good job on there. And, man, enjoy the game. Let us know if it was a blessing. I'm sure it'll be a blessing. But, again, watch how much you buy on the side.
Indeed. All right. Will do. Thank you, David.
Thank you, my friend. All right. Hang on for Wonder Julie. Here she comes. All righty. So I'm glad we're able to do the tickets because I love giving stuff away. I wish we had tons and tons and tons of money because I'd give it away all the time or different things like that. We're going to work on increasing that as we become a nonprofit. One of the things that can happen is people can donate stuff and then we can give that stuff away. So we're working on that whole thing. All right. Let me go to this one section here. I wanted to talk about this element about Jesus ascending. There's this concept where it says right here, where he ascended. He also descended to the lower earthly regions. Before people get really weird on me, descended into the lower earthly regions get ready, the earthly regions. There's argument, and we can discuss that later, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, that Jesus did this, this swing by the abyss kind of mentality. But in this text, that's not what it's saying. What it's talking about is him being in heaven, then coming down to earth, and then from the earth going back up to heaven. We get that in Acts 1:9. It says, after he said this, he was taken up right before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So kind of in a humorous sense, what goes down from heaven must come back up. Get it? So he's got to come back up. Here's an interesting element. The scripture, the text says, higher than the heavens. The Jewish rabbis and the scribes believed that there were, or calculated that there were, 7 levels of heaven, of which the highest level of heaven was the throne of God. Yes, I understand there's scriptural elements, you know, in Paul's references. Yes, I understand that there could be some unique stuff there. I just don't know. So I'm just not willing to go, it's this, it's that. I don't know. Here's what I know. Ephesians 1:20, he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm. Jesus is as at the top of any top as there is top in heaven. In fact, Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Now, I did do a double check on the word all, and it does mean all. It's not just a laundry detergent. Here is where I was leading this whole thing to. Because Jesus has ascended, because he's given us gifts to be a blessing to one another, because if we're in his wake, we're able to minister to one another, because he's ascended to the highest level of heaven, higher than all the heavens, in fact, because he's at the top and he's in charge, because the text tells us that he's there in order to fill the whole fullness of the universe, that he's at the top of the top of the top, and it's Jesus, and he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's on our side, he's for us, God with us is part of his name. It's fantastic. Because of all of that, Christians should believe in numinism. Are you ready for this one?
This is gonna get me in so much trouble.
You're thinking, what's numinism? All right, don't get mad. You're supposed to enjoy it. We're going into the weekend, but apparently you guys don't remember Alfred E. Newman. Do you remember Alfred E. Newman? What his slogan was? Alfred E. Newman's slogan was, what? Me worry? So Christians should have that attitude. You are in the wake of Jesus Christ, who is at the top of all possible heavenly realms, ascended higher than heaven in order to fill the whole universe. You're in his wake. He's set you free. He's on your side. Why are you worried? What? Me worry? It's like, no, you don't need to worry, because he who loves you is greater than any. And your circumstance is not more powerful than your Savior. And your sin, you're not a better sinner than Jesus is a Savior. And because we're in his wake, we're in his train, and we're close to him, it's like, yes. So that's why you can say, what? Me worry? Because you don't have to worry. That doesn't mean that people don't worry. It doesn't mean we don't have challenges. It doesn't mean we don't have frustrations. But all I'm saying is we don't have to if we recognize the place that Jesus Christ is in and at on our behalf. Do you know how much he loves you? He became one of us to show us. If you don't mind, I'll just, to the last minute, and then I'll close with prayer. I'll borrow Billy Graham's wonderful illustration. Father and son walking through a parking lot, come across an anthill. It was stepped on. Some ants are dead, some are wounded, some are walking around no direction. Father turns to the son, says, what is the best way to help them? Son says, I don't know what. The father says, become an ant. That's how you help them. Like, that's the love that Jesus had. He became an ant. He became a person because he loves us so, to help us. Father, we just ask you right now that any words that were spoken that don't glorify you or don't help, just toss them to the side, Lord. Let them be forgotten. But anything that's been spoken or heard throughout the entire week, that which can draw us closer to you where you will increase, let that be cemented in our hearts and minds, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.